Hello and welcome to Two Blokes Trading. Join us, the two blokes, Tom and Owen, as we dive deep into the complex, exciting and potentially lucrative world of home trading.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Two Blokes Trading Podcast. I'm Owen.
Hello. So, Owen, we've both set up an account and put money in an account, and we're now spread betting. Why?
Yeah. Obviously we're UK based. It's worth saying. I don't know if maybe on episode 2 we've got an international listenership yet, but just in case. and spread betting is not actually available everywhere, but where it is available, or at least in the UK, because it's classed by the UK government as gambling, technically, any profits you make are tax-free, which is great. So that's an immediate tick in that box in terms of what we're going to trade.
Obviously, that's assuming we make a profit, but let's keep hopeful.
Well, yeah, but that is a good point because of the same thing, if you don't make money, if you lose money, you can't offset that against other areas of, say, like capital gains tax if you happen to own a bunch of shares or something like that. So it is a good point. But assuming we wish to be profitable traders and we are confident that we're going to do that, it makes sense, I suppose, to look at the one where we don't pay tax if we do make money.
And spread betting, is that purely UK-based or does it happen in other countries? I have no idea. So.
It does, yeah. There are other markets. I think the UK is a pretty big one. I don't know if it happens a lot in the United States, for instance. They have a slightly puritanical attitude towards gambling over there, as I understand it. We don't really seem to care in the UK. I think the government just likes the fact that they get pretty good economic benefits from having large poker houses and gambling companies. And I guess spread betting is not, I would like to think, gambling, but it is classed as that by the government. So that's the number one reason why we're looking at spread betting. Secondly, it's really simple. So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people listening already know this, so I'm not going to go into too much detail, but basically the trading mechanics are very, very simple, very transparent, really clear. The costs are quite low and you don't have to have an awful lot of money in your account to start trading. So you don't need £100,000 to start spread betting. You can do it with £1,000, you do £250, really.
That's to do with the leverage, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So every pound you're putting on can control a much greater amount of money. It doesn't mean if you have one bad trade, you're going to lose 10 grand, and it doesn't mean you're going to make 10 grand. But because of the maths involved in the betting on pips to go up or down, rather than basically if I bought a pound and it went up by one pip, I make like no money at all. I make a fraction of a pence. Mm-hmm. But if I bet 10 quid per pip and it goes up by a pip, I make £10. Mm-hmm. So a guy with me with not a huge amount of assets that he wants, to risk spread betting, then it's the perfect platform. And that's another reason why we're doing it. So you can work with margin, obviously, double-edged sword. It does come with higher risk, mm-hmm. but you can work on margin. That doesn't mean you're going to lose 50 grand, you know, if you put £100 in, if the market goes against you. But you can make more money. And like I say, if you do then make that money, it's tax-free. I mean, that makes so much difference.
Yeah, I think that's one of the main reasons, at least by the sounds of it.
If I just go and buy shares tomorrow, I've got to pay stamp duty instantly on that transaction. And if I then make profit, I have to pay capital gains tax on any of that. If I have dividends, then that impacts if you have your own business and you take dividends, if you get dividends from your shares, then that conflicts with that, and then that's more tax you have to pay. So very simple spread betting. I think basically, as long as it's not your primary source of income, and I'm not a tax advisor, so don't take this advice, but if it is your primary source of income, if it's your main job, then you might be liable for income tax. But as long as it's not your main job, it doesn't matter if it's the one that makes you the most money, as long as it's not your main job. hence poker players that are on the side, journalists or whatever, even though they make 5 million quid a year from poker and not that from journalism. So there
Right.
you go. Yeah, spread betting, the right thing to do. We've
Okay.
decided, but that is not advice to you. You've got to make your own mind up.
So you've convinced me. So
Good.
now, obviously, we're talking to David later, a little bit later on this podcast, and he's working at ETX Capital, so a broker that's pretty well known in the UK and internationally, to be honest. And so, so it brings on really nicely to our interview that we've got lined up for later today. It's an interview with the head of sales trading over at ETX Capital, and basically it's going to be an opportunity, Owen, for you and I to ask all the questions that we've been asking ourselves over the last couple of days about brokers, how they operate, how they make their money, etc., etc. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Let's get it on.
Here it is.
Two Blokes Trading welcomes David Papier, an 8-year veteran of the broking industry, now head of sales trading at ETX Capital. He's kindly joined us today to talk a little bit about himself and his role, a little bit about the world of spread betting brokers, and maybe a bit about the markets as they currently are as well. Hello, David.
Hi guys, how are you doing?
Yeah, pretty well. Pretty well, thank you.
Thank you very
Great.
much for inviting me along today.
Our pleasure.
So, David, first things first, could you, is there any chance you could give us a bit more on your background and specifically kind of the role that you're doing over at ETX?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started off in the broking industry about 8 years ago, working for an organization called CMC Markets. I
Yeah.
started there as a junior, just opening accounts. Within a year, I was an account manager there, and then after 5 years at the company, I was team leading both the sales and the account management desks. I then
Nice.
left CMC Markets to go to a startup brokerage called Ascendo, where I was helping setting up sales trading desks there. Was there for just literally over a year. And then the opportunity at ETX came up, and I was essentially poached to become the head of sales trading,
Awesome.
which I have been in this role for just under 2 years now.
And the role over at ETX. So again, for someone like myself, I'm you know, not I'm out here, outside the world of trading. What is head of sales trading? What does it entail?
Okay, so the sales trading department at ETX is essentially, it's a relationship management service. So what we do is we manage the relationships and the expectations of our client base at ETX Capital. So, you know, we're here to help the guys. You know, we provide education, we provide support, we provide information so that the experience that the client has at ETX Capital is the best that it can be, and we do what we can do to add value to that experience.
That's pretty clear. All right. And so, I mean, I guess most people listening will probably have an idea of what ETX Capital does in terms of the spread betting. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that offering, but I know you do like binary options, and you have API with MT4 as well, MetaTrader 4. Can you talk a bit about the options that you guys have and how, I guess, retail traders, work from home traders can use ETX potentially?
So we offer it across three different platforms. We've got our Trader Pro platform, which is our proprietary in-house platform, where you can trade spread betting and CFDs across that. We've got MT4, which is obviously the world-renowned MetaTrader platform, predominantly a CFD platform, but we're actually one of the few brokerages in the world that offer spread betting through MT4 as well. So
Interesting.
it's a big it's quite a unique proposition for us and what we can offer our clients. And then recently, it was actually just under 3 years ago, we launched binary options as a new product for ETX. And you know, binary options have become an incredibly interesting product for the industry. A lot of traders want to use it not only to trade with, but to have a bit of fun, but also for hedging purposes. And it's something that we offer through or offer as part of the ETX proposition.
And on MetaTrader 4, what would be the reasons for me to, because it looks more advanced, maybe a bit more complex, what would be the reasons why I'd open with MT4 and use that specifically to do my spread betting or my CFDs?
Okay, so the first reason that clients use MT4 is really the familiarity. You know, it's a world-renowned platform. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people use it. Well, hundreds of thousands of people use it simply because of the familiarity. But there are reasons. You've got the chart functionality on there as well. You know, the charts on MT4 are incredibly useful, and there's a huge amount of information on there that clients can use to, you know, justify their trading decisions. You've also got the other main reason for it, which is the expert advisors function. So clients can essentially build a robot that will trade on their behalf to give them entry and exit points, and you know, hopefully make profit from those trades as well. You've got the hedging functionality on MT4 as well, which essentially means the clients can go long and short on the same instrument at the same time. Not every broker offers that. It's something that only a sort of handful of brokers do, especially on their own proprietary platforms as well. But MT4 has that hedging facility where you can go long and short on the same instrument at the same time. And then obviously you've got third-party indicators as well. So, you know, a client can go out there, they can build their own expert advisor, they can build their own algorithm. But what you can also do is take third-party algorithms or third-party indicators or third-party expert advisors that you can either pay for or get for free off the internet, and you can use them to help your trading become more profitable.
I feel like this is a podcast in itself, I think, and we could have a look into MT4 at some point. Sounds great.
That's great. So that's a sort of a more, you know, if you want to get more advanced, then that's a great way to go. But Trader Pro, for me at this stage, I think, of my trading career, just getting into it, looking at a couple of systems, putting a couple of trades on, sounds like maybe a bit simpler, a bit easier to use for now. And binary options as well. So that looks like a really interesting option taking a pretty simple trade in one direction or the other, but I imagine a few people listening might not be.
I've got no idea what it is. Could you elaborate only briefly kind of on what it is and why I do that over, say, spread betting?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not that you would do one over the other. Okay. It's just another investment vehicle that clients can use to hopefully make profitable trades. Now, the difference between binary options and, let's say, spread betting or CFDs, that it's a non-leveraged product. So the money that you put down is the money that you invest. You don't have to leverage yourself to take a bigger position with a smaller amount of money in your account. So
it's a bit less risk, maybe.
Well, it's not that it's no, because with any investment vehicle, with any product that you're trading, there's always going to be risk attached. And there doesn't mean there's any less risk attached to a binary option than to a spread bet or a CFD. Essentially, what you're doing is that you're just not using leverage to fulfill a larger position. So you could argue that if you are using leverage, then your profits and your losses will be magnified. Mm-hmm. But with binary options, there is no leverage. And because of that, there's a fixed payout. So if you're putting down a particular stake size, you know exactly what your payout is going to be. So on the ETX binary options platform, for example, we do up to 80% payouts. So if you're betting £10 that the FTSE will finish higher or lower than the current price within a certain period of time, and let's say you're doing a £10 bet towards that, you know that if you are correct and the FTSE does finish higher or lower than where you predict, that you'll get your £10 stake back and you'll get 80% of that stake back into your account. So you're essentially winning £18.
Brilliant.
So there are other benefits of binary options. Mm. You've got the simplicity of the platform as well. You are essentially betting that a market will finish higher or lower within a certain period of time, and you don't have to concern yourself with the volatility or the aggressiveness of which the market will move in between that time period. You're just hoping that it does finish higher or lower than where you predicted within a certain period of time.
So could that be a good option, say, if there's a news event coming up and you think you know whether it's going to beat expectations or the opposite, and therefore you think you know which direction might move, but actually getting in quickly enough to trade that through spread betting might be difficult. Maybe that's a simpler option of betting on the direction without necessarily having to do the ins and outs of entry and exit around a volatile period. Would that be an option?
Absolutely, you're absolutely correct. So let's take high impact economic data, for example. So non-farm payrolls, GDP figures, etc. You know, when these particular figures get released onto the market, especially if the data comes out much worse or much better than expected, then you're going to see period, or history has shown us when this happens, that you've got periods of high volatility. So what clients will sometimes do, instead of taking a spread bet or a CFD position around that data, they'll use a binary option because they're not concerning themselves with that volatility when the data comes out or the period after it. What they're just hoping is that within a certain period of time, that market will finish higher or lower than their strike price.
Brilliant. Well, that's really interesting because that's something that I looked a little bit into trading news events, and that was what was concerning me. So that's really interesting. Something I reckon we'll probably look into actually. So awesome. All right.
And there's also a couple of other benefits of binary options as well. I mean, you mentioned the risk factor earlier. Well, binary options are actually limited risk because with a binary option, you can't lose more than your initial investment like you can do with CFDs because of the leverage. So that's another reason why clients like to use binary options, because of that limited risk factor.
So maybe in a Because obviously, so you remember the Swiss National Bank thing that, yeah. What was it, a year ago maybe, where people were, where, you know, stop loss were completely blown out and people lost much more than they were expecting and much more than they had done in general events before. With Brexit coming up, where we don't really know what's going to happen with that, maybe maybe that's a good way to be trading at the moment. You don't feel comfortable necessarily holding overnight positions when you've got polls and things happening. Maybe that's a good way to go for someone like myself who's a bit unsure. You know,
absolutely. I mean, that's always an option for clients if they do have those concerns. But don't forget, I mean, even on our Trader Pro platform, which is our proprietary in-house platform, you know, you mentioned about MT4 being more for the experienced user, but that's not necessarily the case. I mean, even with Trader Pro, we've got the chart functionality. We've actually got a wider coverage on there of equities. There are a lot more platform features on Trader Pro than there are with MT4. You know, each platform has its own benefits, but none is more really, it's not that you differentiate between the experience of a client on depending what they want to use. But it's interesting you mentioned about the SMB, about the Brexit, because let's face it, right, there's always going to be risks of trading. And that is one thing that clients have to accept. You have to accept that there is always going to be risks on trading. Now, let's face it, right, leverage trading, it carries a high degree of risk. It does. There's no getting away from that. But leverage is actually a double-edged sword, you know, because not only can it amplify profits, but it can also amplify losses, you know, to the same degree. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of the definitions of risk is the degree that which an asset swings in price, because leverage amplifies these swings, then by definition increases the risk of your portfolio. So I think, you know, we always at ETX Capital, we always want clients to be aware of the inherent risks of trading, because it is part of the game and it is something that they have to be aware of, or clients have to be aware of. And I think, you know, one thing you have to remember as well is that losses are part of the game. You know, everybody gets into trading because they want to make money. They want to have a bit of fun. They have a view and they ultimately want to make a profit from it. But you have to accept that losses are part of the game as well. But it's just making sure that you've got the right strategy in place, that, you know, either you're making more wins than losses, or that the profits that you do make on each trade outweighs the losses that you're making on the trade as well. Because no trade is perfect. No trader is perfect.
No.
And even it's true. And even the best traders in the world, they will, you know, they will often lose more than they win, but they have the right strategy in place so that their winning trades outweigh their losing, or the profitability of their winning trades outweighs the loss or the losses on their losing trades.
Cool. And I know you're obviously not, like I said, not an advisory broker, so tell me if you can't answer this, but in terms of the next couple of weeks, you know, so it's the 10th of June today, referendum on the 23rd, would it be better idea to just stay clear of anything with the GBP in it, trade other instruments? Or do you reckon because of the volatility, because you need volatility to make pips, actually that's an opportunity?
Well, look, I think there is always an opportunity in the market, whether it is on Forex, indices, commodities, bonds, equities, whatever, there is always going to be an opportunity in the market. And I think with the Brexit coming up, I really do believe that this is a gift horse for traders.
Okay.
You know, the fact of the matter is that this is going to be about short-term disruption. It's going to be about long-term uncertainty. And the fact of the matter is that the markets don't like uncertainty. And what this will do is cause volatility. Mm-hmm. And traders want vol. It's the way that traders make money. But the key for traders is being able to pick the right instrument, be able to get into the market at the right time, and also be able to get out the market at the right time. So I think traders shouldn't be scared of the volatility that the EU referendum may cause. I think they should look at it as a gift horse, because this sort of thing doesn't come around all
yeah.
the time.
Great.
You know, this is a great opportunity for traders to take a view, you know, and potentially make profits on their view as well.
My concern with that, and I think I was looking at I think last week at the market, and there was a random spike that just came out of nowhere, and it wasn't even economic data. I think it was a poll that came out during the day, and I didn't know it was coming, and it hit the market and it exploded and pushed me out of position. I mean, is that that is the risk, isn't it, at the moment? It's not just the volatility, that's okay, but it's these spikes that is adding that extra element to it.
Oh, of course, you know, and unfortunately, you're going to get spikes of this because of the uncertainty. Markets will behave, you know, unusually in certain periods. And this particular, I think this was it on Tuesday morning, I believe, that
like 4 a.m. Yeah,
that's it. And, you know, sometimes these things will happen, and they will do. And unfortunately, that is part of trading. You know, and that's not just down to the Brexit. That could be down to, you know, unusual economic data coming out. It could be down to, you know, a strange piece of fundamental news hitting a market. It could just be an institution fat-fingering a trader. That could be
yeah. as well. So, drunk trader.
What,
yeah.
The one at 4 o'clock in the morning, or 5 o'clock, whatever time it was. Do you know what actually that was? What caused it?
Yeah, from what I understand from talking with different people in the industry, is that an exit poll was revealed on Twitter at 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's what caused the spike.
Brilliant.
4 o'clock. Of course, that's when you should release it, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, I mean, it's interesting that Twitter can do this to a market because, social media has become such an interesting part of traders' information sources these days because, before something hits the mainstream media, you can get a journalist tweet it or, a member of the public can tweet something and it just goes wild.
Yeah.
And it's volatility in a market. So, traders should look for different sources of information to be able to justify their trades. And I think Twitter is something that they should definitely embrace and use to be able to source information.
Brilliant. We've just been getting acquainted with Twitter, so we're just adding a few interesting people. Might have sent some interesting tweets, so if you're listening, do it. It's at Two Blokes Trade if you fancy it.
Because we couldn't fit on trading on the end of it, so it has to be two.
Yeah.
I love the shameless plug there, guys. Well done.
Yeah. No, I thought about doing it, but then I thought, no, I'm not that shameless. But no, thank you, Owen.
I am.
Nothing wrong with that. Cool. Don't forget, guys, you've also got the Twitter of at ATX Capitalism.
There you go.
Sign 100%. Up.
David, I thought a lot of people listening to this, if we're speaking to someone from a broker, they're going to want to know. There's always a question out there on all the forums, and it's about ultimately how does a spread betting broker make its money, and obviously some questions around that. So if you don't mind, I want to put that one to you. Could you sort of give us a quick rundown on I guess where the profit comes from in a spread betting business?
Yeah, of course, not a problem at all. So the way that spread betting companies or leverage trading companies like ETX make their money is through the dealing costs. So there is the spread, first of all, that you pay on a market, and that is the difference between the buy and the sell price. We make our money through something called overnight financing. So if a client takes a position on a market and holds it from one day to the next, because you're placing a leverage trade, you're essentially borrowing money from the company to magnify the the profits and the losses on that trade or to create a large position. So the money that you are borrowing is essentially, there's essentially an interest rate accrual that you will have to pay on that trade to hold it from one day to the next.
Gotcha.
So that's one of the other ways that ETX makes its money, or spread betting or leverage trading companies make their money. And the last way is through commissions on CFD equities or other CFD products. There is a commission to enter the trade, there's a commission to exit the trade. So they're really the three main ways that ETX makes their money. And I'd also like to talk about, a lot of companies believe that the general public believe that companies such as ours make our money in sort of more unscrupulous ways, like through client losses. Well, to be honest, it isn't really the case. We want clients to be profitable here because at the end of the day, we want a client trading with us for 5 years and not 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. The more the client profits, the more you keep trading, and the longevity that you get from that is beneficial not only for the client but obviously for the business itself. So, what I'm trying to say is that we provide education, we provide support, we provide an arm around our clients to make sure that you are profitable and to make sure that you have longevity from your trading experience.
Because a long-term trader will trade in a certain amount of volume over that time. Every time there's a trade, make the money on the spread. It's all completely transparent and it works for both parties. So that's
absolutely
makes sense. The flip side of the question, I suppose, is if you say so I place a trade, I make 50 pips. Does ETX Capital therefore lose 50 pips in the money they pay out to me?
Well, it's not that ETX will lose the money. No. We have a facility here where we will hedge our clients' trades. I mean, you have to appreciate that we are a business and we have to be able to manage the risk on the exposure that our clients take. Mm-hmm. So, it's not that, clients make 50 pips, we lose 50 pips and vice versa. What we will do is we'll go out and hedge that position in the underlying market. So, if the client does make 50 pips out of us, yes, that money is coming out of an ETX account, but then we have hedged ourselves within the underlying market, so we've made that profit as well. So essentially, it's a win-win for the company. Yes, we are paying the client out, but we're taking from the underlying market, and essentially all ETX is doing is making from the spread, the overnight financing if it's held overnight, and the commissions if it's a CFD trade.
Perfect. All right.
That's great. Excellent. I mean, there's a lot of questions that I've had that have been answered in that, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
David, it's been a pleasure. Really, really interesting to speak today. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm sure we'll be seeing plenty of you in the future. And I think we're going to be talking about Brexit in a little more detail next time.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers.
Awesome. Bye. So binary trading looks pretty interesting, Tom. Not something I've got any experience of, really. But what do you reckon around that idea of trading around news, which I like? We're both a bit scared, frankly.
Yeah, from what I understand, from what I explained to him during the interview, I think that obviously binary trading would be closer to what I would describe as gambling than spread betting, for example.
Yeah.
Because it literally is, it's higher or lower, isn't it? It's a card game. So with risk and factors outside your control.
And slightly stacked against you. And that was, so if you bet 10 quid, you'd lose 10 quid, but you would get 8 quid plus your 10 quid.
Yeah, and the house always wins. So
yeah, that's it. But then I guess, you know, it's not sports gambling at the end of the day. Otherwise, we'd have to believe all trading was gambling, right? Well, if you genuinely have a view on it going one way or the other, you just have to be 81% correct, and you will make money doing that, right?
Yeah, I can see that. I think... Moreover, and I think I definitely will be trying it out with news, because I can see the value in around news. It obviously seems to be quite volatile, and the markets go up and down regardless of whether or not it's finally going to go long or short. But it does do a lot of shaking around, and if I put a stop short, it could shake me out of the position. So
it sometimes goes straight down and booms back up, and you were right long term, yeah, or right over the half hour. By the way, I think my maths was crap there, so it's not. It's not you. So you're 20% net negative on the chances. So you wouldn't have to be 81%. You have to be 70. Does anyone know anything about maths? How often do you have to be right? How often do you have to be right as a percentage to make money if you only make 80 or 8 quid for every 10 quid you risk? Because obviously, if it was 10-10, it'd be 51%, right? If it's 8-10, it's different. So I don't know, someone writing. I can't work out on air.
How old school are you writing in?
Yeah. History degree. Come on. What gonna do? Yeah.
But yeah, I think, like I say, I am going to try it around the news. I think it's going to be actually really interesting to see how that works, and whether or not, you know, every time a key high volatile news release comes out, if we can just chuck in a binary trade after, if it looks like it's significantly different to the expected outcome.
It's interesting. If is it as simple as that? If you don't have to do anything special to get the news or interpret it in any special way, you literally look at your economic calendar, and when it's populated, just take a view. But then obviously it doesn't always go the way you expect anyway.
Well, I think we... And
this sounds a little bit like gambling.
I think that's where it comes down to researching the economic data and knowing the effects and historical effects of points difference. But again, that will come with time, and I hope we'll get there.
Exactly, but something to bear in mind, something interesting to look at. Awesome. So one of the things I hope that will have been of real interest to people listening, as I know it's something that people are often asking, is that stuff about, how do brokers make their money, particularly in spread betting, where it can seem like a zero-sum game, you versus them. In the same way, if you bet on a football match and you win, then the broker loses. But I think the reality... the situation is, you know, he's given us a clarity on how the core ways they make money on the spread, on the overnight borrowing costs, and obviously on CFDs, on the dealing charges on those, which is, you know, same as the spread effectively for a different product, which is great. Obviously, then if you think mathematically, well, the spread's a tiny fraction, isn't it, of the trade. So even if they were 60-40 down, they would be losing money because the spreads are such a small amount of pips, or fraction of pips. Then, so he says, obviously they hedge, which is reassuring, I recommend, because otherwise it mathematically wouldn't work. So, and I'm just speculating, presumably if they hedge the entire position, so say, I don't know, like, say like 60% of punters thought that Apple was going to go up and they were spread betting long on Apple. So they say, all right, 60-40, so let's chop that in the middle and have 40 versus 40, and that then, you know, as in of their own punters, then those people cancel each other out. That only leaves 20% that they then need to hedge, and they can then take that and then using presumably their big buying power as a much larger institution than us, get a much better price than inevitably a retail trader will get on a spread. They'll go and actually do a proper Forex trade. And if they fully hedge that position, then they don't. It's not about you as an individual. It's not about whether they hedge your trade. It's about what's their net position of all their punters. And if they then go off and hedge that whole thing, get a better price, then yeah, then they're making the money on the spread, because the spreads, the combined spreads, are going to be greater than the cost for them making that trade, which is, I think, really reassuring. You know, there's a bit of speculation in there. That sounds like pretty much what they're doing. So. Good, right? It means that if I'm a winning trader, they're not going to start shaking me out of positions or what have you, and they don't care about me as a guy, you know?
Yeah. It just reassured me, basically. And hey, you know, we may be mugs, who knows? And I know for a fact there are plenty of people out there that believe that. I spoke to a chap a few weeks back that was a successful retail trader, and he's convinced that his broker is copying his trades.
Oh, yeah?
So therefore, obviously, making a bonus on his trades,
brilliant.
Using his same logic, he thinks that people who are not successful traders, they're not following those trades or hedging them, because they're more likely going to be unsuccessful, and then the ones that are in the middle bracket will be hedged. That was his logic.
Oh, really? Well, so yeah, see, that's, I mean, then you're in the realms of conspiracy theory, yeah. and speculation. But I mean, God, maybe he's right. Maybe it is a lot more complex. Maybe I'm being slightly naive. But it just seems to me like, you know, David seems like an honest guy, and he's telling us, no, look, you know, we want you to be successful because you'll stick around. We hedge.
I mean, that's logical. It's
logical, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's whether or not, yeah, and whether or not greed has anything to do with it. I mean, logically, yeah. if they can make a profitable business doing that, then that makes absolutely sense. Yeah. Make sure everyone's profitable, everyone's happy, and everyone makes
If they make sure everyone was profitable, that'd be amazing. Oh,
sorry. Well, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, me too. Bloody hell. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, if we were running a broker, that's how we'd do it, I reckon. So, I mean, who knows? But yeah. I believe the guy. It's good. Awesome. And so obviously after that, we talked a little bit about Brexit, and really interesting that obviously he thinks that Brexit is a gift horse. He used the phrase gift horse a number of times. And as he says, you need volatility to make money. You know, the price has to go up and down, particularly in spread betting, for you to make money on it. So Brexit, a gift horse to traders. Obviously, you know, the broker wants you to trade and trade in volume, not just stop trading for a month because you're terrified of Brexit. But he has a point, doesn't he? Or is it just too scary? We should stay away.
You heard. Well, I who knows? You heard my point that I made to him, reference the spikes. If the spike goes in the wrong direction for you, then it's not a nice place to be. If it goes in the right direction, then yeah, no, you've done.
Then you're
well.
A genius.
Yeah, exactly. And you always planned it to go that way. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm we've still got a lot to learn. I think we've chosen a pretty tough time to get into it, and I'm definitely more happier to observe currently than to jump right in when frankly, I think there's a lot of experienced people really still trying to work out how they're going to trade Brexit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, so we've got another chat with him booked all about this, which I think is going to be in episode 4.
Episode 4, yep.
Episode 4. So maybe we'll learn then. Awesome. So what's next week, Tom?
So to look forward to for next week, we've got Ilan, the second part to his interview, which is the CEO of Auto Chartist. He's going to give us his kind of sage words of wisdom when it comes to what to do as a new trader in the market, and first few baby steps, I think.
Tom, it's been a pleasure, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, our thanks goes out to David again, and I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to it, and we'll continue to listen in for weeks to come.
Thanks for listening to the Two Blokes Trading podcast with Tom and Owen. Be sure to subscribe and check out twoblokestrading.com. We'll see you back here next Monday.